This morning, I want to read from Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. It says, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." There are other translations as well. "Out of the mouths of babes and children, you have ordained praise." Okay, so today I'm talking about fitting praise or perfected praise. Now, in about half an hour's time, exactly 100 years ago, the guns fell silent on the Western Front. And great rejoicing and jubilation broke out across Europe. Thousands upon thousands of people came onto the streets and they celebrated the end of the war. Of course, they celebrated victory, but perhaps more than anything else, they celebrated the end of madness. Amen. The end of violence, the end of killing, the end, if I may say so, of stupidity. The stupidity of the generals who sent millions of men to their deaths. When World War I broke out, as it's known now, it wasn't known as World War I then, it was known as the Great War, because people weren't thinking at the end of the war, this is World War I, because we're going to have another one in 20 years' time. So they weren't thinking like that. This was the Great War. This was the war that was going to end all wars. And of course, we know it wasn't, because even in the peace of World War I were sown the destructive seeds for the Second World War. And when it broke out in 1914, 65 million men were mobilized. 30 million men were wounded, and 8.5 million men lost their lives. And this morning we celebrate, like they did in 1918 on this day, we celebrate the end of war, but we also honor and we commemorate the sacrifice of those 8.5 million men, plus those who lost their lives in war, in the Second World War, in Iraq, in Bosnia, in Afghanistan, in Northern Ireland. And may I just say this morning, I'm sure he wouldn't like me mentioning this, but Lee Murray is with us, a veteran of the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And so many, we celebrate so many people like him who put their lives on the line, put their necks at risk in order to protect the freedom that we have today. So when the people broke out on the streets in 1918 and they celebrated, I believe they celebrated with fitting praise. It was a fitting celebration. Now, why do I say that? Because fitting praise, as it is mentioned in Matthew chapter 21, verse 16, means praise that is brought into the right working order or condition, or praise as it should be, or mature praise. And I believe that that's what God is looking for in his children. He's looking for praise as it should be, fitting praise, praise that has been brought into the right condition, or praise as it should be, or fitting mature praise. Where does it come from? Well, Jesus says that it comes from the mouths of babes and little children. It doesn't come from deep-thinking theologians. It doesn't come from necessarily from people who've been in church for 40 years. It comes from the mouths of babes and little children. They are full of awe and full of wonder and full of excitement, amaze and reverence. Fitting praise is praise that is full of awe, full of wonder, full of excitement. And you know why that is the case? Because little children are seeing the world for the first time. Do you remember when you were a little child and you remember seeing things for the first time and you think about the wonder that you felt and the curiosity that you felt and you were into everything because you wanted to find out about everything? Yeah, you were in the fridge stealing the cheese, okay? All of that stuff, the wonder and the awe that we felt when we were little children. Do you remember that? Because, you know, fitting praise is praise that you do as if it were for the first time. It's like you're doing it for the first time. We're coming to church this morning, we're singing songs, we're praising God, and it's like it's the first time we have ever discovered God. That's fitting praise. It's not old, tired, complacent Christians singing the same old songs over and over again. It's fitting praise. It's praise brought into the right condition. It's praise that you give to God as if you were giving it for the very first time on the day that you met Him and the day that you experienced Him out of the mouths of little children. Fitting praise comes from awe and from wonder. I remember that very first day that God came into my life, and I was so full of awe and so full of wonder. You know, the hairs stand up on the back of my head whenever I think of it. Whenever I think of the glory of God and the power of God that came into my life on that day, and I knew I would never be the same, but I was so filled with praise, and I wanted to go and tell people about what happened to me. That's fitting praise. Yeah? So when we come into church, when we praise God, honest, when we give thanks this morning for the end of madness and violence and war, we should do it like they did it for the very first time back in 1918, celebrating and waving their hats in the air and dancing and singing. And jubilant. They were absolutely jubilant that the end of the war had come. We should be jubilant that God has given us His peace. Amen. Peace in the world, but peace also in our hearts. You know, do you remember the excitement of first time experiences? I remember the first time that I drove a car. And I remember getting into the car. And we were in a private lane, and I saw some people coming a couple of hundred yards away, and I was petrified that I was going to hit them, right? Then we got out onto the main road. We actually managed to get onto the main road, and there was a long stretch. And why, I thought, this is fantastic, this is amazing. And I was up to 60 miles an hour. And the guy who was beside me was saying, Mike, hang on, calm down now a little bit, take it easy. But this was such a thrill for me. I remember the first time I flew on an aeroplane. And that was such a thrill. That was amazing. You know, when that plane goes down the runway faster than I'd ever gone before, and you get this feeling in your stomach, and then it lifts off the air, off the ground, into the air. And wow, just the excitement and the awe and the wonder that this huge bird could fly and could carry me safely to my destination. I remember other experiences as well. The first time that I saw Killarney on a beautiful day, I thought, wow, this is incredible. This is the greatest thing I have ever seen. Until I went and I saw the Sea of Galilee on a nice day. And we climbed up onto Nazareth and over the hill there. And then suddenly the Sea of Galilee and the Golan Heights on the other side appears in front of you. And you think, wow, this is heaven. I've never seen anything like this before. This is awesome. This is wonderful. You know, so I remember the first time I arrived in Africa, flying in late at night and opening the door of the aircraft, and it was like walking into an oven and the hot air hit you. Yeah. You think, wow, This is amazing. And then you get into a car and you drive 40 miles to your destination. And you remember the crickets singing. You'd never heard crickets like this before. You're aware of the tall grass and the lights of the car. You're aware of the blackness. And then the punctuated by the lights as people are walking along by the side of the road with their lamps. Light, which is darkness, which is being punctuated by light. And wow, this is, and you're thinking, what does the future hold for me? But you're filled with a sense of wonder and a sense of awe when you do things for the first time. Awe and wonder. You know, I believe we can go through life with a sense of awe and wonder at the things that God has done for us. And you know, we should. We should be filled with awe and with wonder. How do you do that? How do you go through life filled with awe and wonder? Because you know what? Life has a habit of throwing you a curved ball. Life has a habit of bringing negative stuff in on you. But how do you rise above that? And how do you maintain your sense of wonder at God? And you don't turn into, you know, a mediocre kind of person or a mediocre kind of Christian. Well, it's very simple. Every time you praise God, every time you come to church, you do it like you're doing it for the very first time. That way you never become complacent. You retain your wonder and excitement. That, my friends, is perfected praise. When you do things like a child, looking at the world, you know, for the very first time. And if you're a preacher, when you stand up to preach, never do it like it's the same old, here I go again. Do it like you're doing it for the first time. Prepare like you're preparing for the very first time. Deliver it with a passion, like you're doing it for the very first time. Never, ever, ever let complacency set in to your Christian walk or your Christian faith. And when I come to church, every time I come with a sense of expectancy and a sense of excitement that God is going to do something awesome today. God is going to do something in my life. And you know, if you were a singer and you stand up here to sing, sing like you're singing a solo and you're doing it for the very first time and you're doing it as unto the Lord, not unto the people in front of you. Forget in a sense about the people in front of you, but we're worshiping God and you do it like you're doing it for the very first time. And when we sing a song of praise in a moment to commemorate the end of the First World War, remember how God came into your life for the very first time and you got saved. And you got filled with the Holy Spirit. And you received new hope. And new joy. And above all, new peace. When we praise God, remember what God did for you. And never allow the same old to take hold of you. Remember how God came to you. Remember the joy and how you felt. And how you praised God afterwards. Like a little child. Like you're doing it for the very first time. And you know, my friends, this morning, when church gets better, when the singing gets better, when the preaching gets better, we hope. And you know what? You don't get excited like you used to. What's the problem? Where is the problem? Church is getting better. Beautiful building. Everything is getting better around us. And we don't get excited like we used to. We're not excited about one another. We want to come to church and we want to rush away. We don't want to be with each other. We haven't got a love for one another anymore. What's happened? Is the problem the church? No, the problem is me. I have to recognize that the problem is me. I've lost my first love. I've lost my first love for Jesus. I've lost my first love for my brothers and sisters. So what I want us to do this morning is to celebrate this morning, the end of war, but every morning we get up. Every Sunday morning we come to church. Let us do it as if we are doing it for the first time. Because if we stop looking at others and we stop loving others and we lose our first love, you know, we become complacent and second-rate Christians. But on the other hand, if we regain our first love, and if we stop blaming and criticizing and looking at other people and gossiping, not only will we be set on fire, but others around us will be set on fire as well. Our church will be set on fire. Our community will be set on fire. I remember back in 1996, 98, I remember being in church. I had little salary. We were a small group of people. But you know what? We absolutely loved it. Yeah. We were so excited about church. We were so excited about being together. We had no hit. We had no baggage. We were just together and we just wanted to see God move. And we wanted to see the church grow. And over the years, you know, there's a danger that our love for church, our love for one another, our love for God wanes a little bit maybe every year. But in those days, when we had that love and that joy, people wanted to come and join us. Dozens and dozens of people over the following year came and wanted to join us. And what did we have? We had excitement. We had thankfulness. We weren't deep theologians. We were like little children, excited about first things. And you know what? We transformed church in Ollerton. Yeah. We brought about a different kind of church. We are here today because of those people who bonded together, who joined together. And I see exactly the same thing happening now over in Warsaw. But I want to say to us here in Ollerton, let's never lose our first love. Amen. Let's not lose our first love for Jesus. Let's retain our love for Jesus and our love for one another. How do we do it? By becoming little children. You know, I remember my memories of Catholic Church, my formative years in church. And I remember people coming in late into the service, standing at the back, and leaving early, ready to leave, get out that door as fast as we could. And when I decided that God had called me to do church, I thought, no, we're not doing it that way. That's not the way church is done. Yeah. Church is done with love. Yeah. Church is done in fellowship. Amen. Church is done in relationship. We build relationship with one another. Amen. Because we don't want to have a form of religion. Amen. Because we come to church because, you know, we want a form of religion. We come to church because we love God. Amen. And we come to church because we love one another. Yes. Amen. Yes. So, just a couple of minutes. How can we stay fresh? How can you retain perfected praise? Well, first of all, you can relive your testimony every time you tell it. Relive your testimony of what God has done for you. You know, Nicky Cruz, he once said, somebody asked him, how can you retain your enthusiasm? And you tell your testimony. All you practically do is tell your testimony. Tell your story about how God delivered you from drugs. How do you retain your enthusiasm? And he said, every time I give my testimony, I go back and I remember how it was when I was a little drug addict boy. I was from Puerto Rico. There was no hope for me. Jesus came into my life and saved me. I live it all over again when I give my testimony. Amen. So I remember what it was like in my previous church, back as a boy. Yeah, I remember that. And I remember how God brought me out of that and how God saved me and filled me with His Holy Spirit and brought me into an amazing group of people. Yeah. I remember that every time that I tell my testimony. And so you can keep your fire for God by telling your testimony and by reliving it every time you tell it, and tell it often, and tell it to everyone who will possibly listen to you. And you can get excited about hearing God's voice in prayer and in Bible reading. Every time that you read the Bible and every time that you pray, Read it with the intention of hearing from God. Yes. Read it with the belief that God can speak to you, that God can direct you, that God can minister to you. Yes. Prayer and Bible reading. And when you pray, it's not the old prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I park my car down the street. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord will put on the brake. So not prayers like that, but fervent prayers. Yeah? Prayers that mean something. Yeah. Prayers that actually want God to speak back to me.
Yeah,
because God speaks back to us. Yeah. And so every time I get into my Bible, I read it relationally. I read it because I'm having a relationship with God.
Amen.
So you and I, we can get excited about every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Hallelujah.
And if you're not a morning person, stop. If you're not a morning person, stop telling yourself that you're not a morning person. Stop speaking it out. Wake up every morning with an excitement about God has given me a new day. Think about the new day that God has given you. Think about the fact that God... Okay. Bit premature. But think about that God has given you a new day. And think about what God has done for you and how much God has blessed you. And when you praise God, do it like you did it for the very first time. Amen. So, Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your great love and your great goodness. Lord, we rejoice in you today. We rejoice in the peace that we live in, Lord, in our country. We rejoice, Lord, in the freedom that you've given us. But we honor the men and the women who have given their lives, Lord, in service for this country and in service of freedom across the world. Lord, we are so grateful for all you've done for us. And we want to thank you, O God, for every man, woman, and child, Lord, who has served in the armed forces in any country, Lord, to preserve freedom and to protect. Lord, bless those today, I pray, who are suffering the effects of war, wherever it is. People, Lord, even in our own country, who are suffering, O God, mental trauma, physical trauma, because they've gone through the trauma of war. Oh Lord, we just thank you that you are a great healer. You are my healer. And I thank you, Lord, today that when you died on the cross, you died to redeem people from the memories. You died to redeem us, O God, from trauma and from crisis. And I thank you today, Lord, that by your stripes, we look to you, O God, we look to the cross. We bring our trauma, we bring our crisis today to the cross of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we rejoice and we celebrate in your victory.
Yes.
You wear today, Lord, the victor's crown. And it's in you that we rejoice and we celebrate, O God, even as we prepare to celebrate the very minute that peace broke out. At this moment, O God, we're going to sing victor's crown. Because we believe that peace comes from you and that you are the victor. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hang on, Liz. Wait.